Okay, you know, we're going to start now, and because we have some very, very important things to do. But first, we will welcome all of you here to California Library Users, and thank all of you for turnout. I know that people are probably migrating here from Ojai and Lompoc and so forth. We're that far away, so we're going to expect a lot of folks drifting in here. So, but without any delay, I want to begin, since we have a lot of stuff to do, and I mentioned to folks earlier that we have place settings already set up here, so they may or may not clear us out of here. Hopefully, they'll just start serving. We want to read the minutes first with our esteemed secretary, Debbie Berry, and then we'll go right into the Constitution and Bylaws, and I'll talk a little bit about that before Peter reads it. So, Debbie, so you're up.
Okay. The minutes are relatively short, so the California Library Users of California, Kahlua, okay, let's see, was called to order on Thursday, April 10th, 2007, at approximately 10:55. Introductions were made, and it was determined that a quorum was present. The balance was not given. However, the previous balance, according to Jerry, was $556.59. The treasurer was not present at the time. Jerry said that according to the National Library Users Association, California has 26 members. CLUA, or Kahlua, is one of the few state affiliates, and I believe there's only one or two more. And so it's very important that we encourage our membership and for people to join and with ideas. We were encouraged to pay our dues. Dues are $15. $12 goes to National. The magazine or newsletter comes in Braille, print, or on tape. Elections will be conducted at the next meeting, and members were encouraged to run for an office or to recruit members to run for offices. Jerry says that it's an exciting time for us now because of the information age, and we have more access to material than ever before with the new digital players, Bookshare, etc. Members were encouraged to contact any member of the board with program ideas or ideas about fundraising. Leslie, Tom, said that we could help with expenses and that CCB would help us fly in a narrator. Or we could even have somebody locally, a local narrator or someone from the commercial market or commercial libraries. Another thing that was discussed about future programs is libraries talking about their responsibilities under ADA and our rights and responsibilities regarding ADA. Right. So it's a two-way street. We talked also about having people submit books that they've read, and this has not been successful so far. Debbie Berry had given her contact information, as did all the other board members, and so far, and that was two meetings ago, I received only one email. With this list, the secretary would submit to the Braille Forum. I mean the Blind Californian. And anyway, that has not been successful. But the board members gave their contact information for members to contact us. And also, at the next meeting, the Constitution and Bylaws report will be read. Respectfully submitted, Secretary Debbie Berry.
Great. Thank you very much, Debbie. And Sounds like they were very complete minutes, even though they were short. Can I entertain a motion? All right. Any discussion, any corrections, amendments to the minutes? Okay. It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes as read. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Perfecto. Abstain? Okay. What I'd like to do is do the constitution and bylaws, and then we'll have elections. I want to thank a number of folks because we talked about this a couple of years ago and last year about the fact that the Kalua Constitution had not been visited, at least officially, since 1988. I'd heard that there's some history that, yes, there were some revisions, but this is the latest copy that we have. Given that, I thought it'd be good for us to revisit this document and make some alterations, some proposed alterations, see what the membership thought. And there are some major proposed revisions. I'm going to ask Peter to read this, but I want to thank Peter Pardini, Pat Wolf, Gloria Roderick, who really donated their time, were very generous with their time to brainstorm some ideas and come up with some of these proposed revisions. And if after Peter reads the Constitution and bylaws, and they're mercifully pretty short, but I want to go through so that everybody understands some of the proposed revisions that we have, because some are significant, but hopefully none will be controversial. Anyway, Peter, you got the floor.
Okay. California Chapter, Libraries of America Constitution, Article 1, the name and definition. A, the name of this organization shall be the California Chapter of Library Users of America. B, the term visually impaired person, as used in this document, means anyone who is, one, eligible for services from public or private libraries, including the National Library Services for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, and the respective distribution libraries for the blind and physically handicapped. Two, is eligible to be a user of radio reading services via broadcast transmissions. Or three, is a user of special media information resources. Four, is eligible for services from the California State Department of Rehabilitation. Article 2, purpose. The purposes of this organization shall be, one, to promote the availability and use of library services, radio reading services, and other special information media and entitled which affects the availability of services providing cultural, social, occupational, recreation, and informational recording needs for blind and visually impaired individuals. Two, to encourage the development, acquisition, and use of technology which would enable blind and visually impaired persons to use printed material. Three, to seek solutions to inequities of services arising from geographical, technological, attitudinal, or informational barriers which have the effect of limiting access of library reading services or other media and related entities by visually impaired persons. And four, to do any lawful thing which may facilitate the acquisition of purpose contained herein, article in membership voting and dues. A, any person 16 years of age or older residing in the United States is eligible to become a member of this organization, provided that the majority of this membership of this organization shall be visually impaired. B, each member presents at a meeting of this organization shall be entitled to one vote. C, dues. Dues shall be $20 a year payable to the treasurer on a calendar year basis on or before January 1st of each year. Dues shall be delinquent if not paid on or before March 1st. D, payment of dues entitled members to other rights and privileges of membership. Failure to pay dues on or before March 1st will result in the forfeiture of all rights and privileges of membership. From each member's dues, the treasurer shall pay that member's annual per capita dues to the California Council of the Blind and the Library Users of America, the American Council of the Blind. Article 4, officers and directors. The officers of this organization shall be the president, a vice president, a recording secretary, a treasurer. The president and secretary shall be elected every other year. These officers shall be elected every year in even-numbered years at the fall convention of this organization. The vice president and treasurer shall be elected every other year in odd-numbered years at the fall convention of this organization. The terms of office shall run for 2 years from the end of the fall meeting at which the elections occurred to the end of the fall meeting 2 years hereafter. B. In addition to the officers, there shall be two directors' positions, one of which positions shall be filled in an odd number of years, and the other shall be filled in an even number of years. Directors shall take office at the end of the fall meeting at which they are elected and held office until the end of the fall meeting at which elections are held. The immediate past president shall be a member of the board of directors. C. The officers and directors shall constitute the board of directors. The board of directors shall be the governing body of this organization between meetings and shall take no official actions in conflict with the decisions or actions of the membership. D. Nominations and election of officers and directors. 1. Except for the organization meeting, shall be the nominating committee appointed by the president. Such committee shall recommend candidates for consideration for election as officers or members of the board of directors. The nominating committee shall nominate one person for each office to be voted on upon the spring meeting at the next following the report of the nominating committee. The nominating committee shall make its report at the regular fall meeting of this organization. Nominations shall be made from the floor by members at a meeting at which elections are held. 2. The officers and directors shall be elected by majority president voting at the fall meeting. The duties of officers and directors. 1. The president shall preside at regular meetings of this organization and the meetings of the board of directors. Appoint standing committees. Represent this organization as its chief executive officer. Oversee the implementation of decisions of the members at the regular meeting of and the board of directors pursuant to such decisions and perform other normal duties as indicated to this office. The vice president shall, upon absence of the president, perform the duties of the president and discharge such other duties as may be prescribed by regular meeting of the board of directors. 3. The secretary shall take and shall report minutes of the regular meetings of the board of directors and shall perform such related duties of this office as may be prescribed by the regular meetings or the board of directors. The treasurer shall be the custodian of all monies of this organization, maintain adequate financial records, maintain regular reports at the meetings, and perform such duties as the members and board of directors prescribe. 5. Each officer and director shall be entitled to one vote and to participate fully as members of the board of directors. F. The president and vice president plus at least one half of other members of the board of directors must be blind or visually impaired. G. If the office of president becomes vacant, the vice president shall become president in the event that a new vice president shall be elected at the next regular meeting. A vacancy in the office of secretary or treasurer shall be filled by majority of the board of directors and the person appointed to fill such vacancies shall serve until the next regular meeting. Article 5 meetings. A. There shall be 2 regular meetings each year. The date and place of these meetings shall coincide with the semiannual convention of the California Council of the Blind. B. The majority of members present at any regular meeting shall constitute a quorum for transaction business of this organization. C. The regular meetings of this organization shall be open meetings. Article 6, committees. The president shall appoint all committees deemed necessary by either the president or majority of the board of directors. The committees may include, but are not limited to, the following as recommended by the president or majority of the officers. Nominating and bylaws and membership. Each committee must have 3 members. The president shall be an ex officio member of such committees except the nominating committee. B. Proposed amendments must be presented to the bylaws committee on or before the first regular meeting. Each proposed amendment must be read at a regular meeting no later than the day on which the vote shall occur to adopt it. C. Special committees may be appointed by the president as needed or as directed by the regular meeting of this organization or by the board of directors. Article 7, parliamentary authority. The latest edition of Robert's Rules of Order shall govern the proceedings of the meetings of this organization and the board of directors whenever applicable, except when the bylaws or special meetings supersede. Article 8, amendments to these bylaws. The bylaws may be amended by 2/3 affirmative vote of the membership present and voting at any regular meeting, provided that such amendments have to be read to the members no later than the beginning of the day. It is to be voted on. The organization shall be chartered in a national nonprofit organization known as Library Users of America, and this organization shall be an affiliate of the California Council of the Blind, a statewide nonprofit organization of blind and visually impaired persons. Article 10, dissolution. Upon dissolution of this organization, the board of directors shall, after paying and making provision for payment of all the liabilities of this organization, exclusive for the purposes of this organization, to such organization organized and operating exclusively for charitable, educational, or scientific purposes, which shall be at the time qualified as an exempt organization under Section 504(c)(3) of the IRS Code of 1954, or corresponding provisions of any future IRS law as the board of directors shall determine. And that concludes the reading of the Constitution and bylaws.
Thanks a lot. Now I'd like to start reading all over again. And, I'm sorry. Great. Well, thank you very much, Peter. That's a real chore. And when I printed this up, I did not put it in large print. So extra kudos for struggling through that. A couple of things I do want to point out before we ask for your approval or rejection. We glossed over these revisions, but I want to make sure that everyone understands what this is. Some of the highlights as far as the revisions, of course, is the expansion of the board of directors to 7 people. That is to say, a president, vice president, recording secretary, treasurer, past president, and 2 members at large. And the reason we talked about this is because up to now, the Kahlua board has been pretty much the officers. And my feeling, and I guess the committee agreed, that if we're looking at expanding this organization and really getting serious about its membership, we already have at least 26 members, and hopefully everyone will re-up and continue to grow this organization. I'd like to see us grow as a board as well. So 7 people, 2 of which are not officers, seems reasonable to me, and the group, the committee, seem to agree. Also, dues. You know, $15. We've talked about this, and nobody likes to raise dues, especially in these tough economic times. But as pointed out in the bylaws, we pay at least $12 of those dues to the Lua board, to Lua, and the amount may have been increased to $15, in which case, you know, all of our money goes to the national. Now, we also pay $50 to CCB as well. So, and no one should ever get the idea that the membership, the dues are part of our fundraising effort. And we'll talk about fundraising at maybe the next meeting is an issue that we have to keep bringing up. But we don't want to go in the hole either. So, you know, the way it is now, even if we had no fundraising, this organization would gradually over time go out of existence because all of our money, all of our dues are spoken for. So we figure at least $20 per year. That puts it in line with some of the other affiliates, and so we're going to ask your approval of that. The elections are, we're looking at staggered elections, and that was pretty self-explanatory. This time, I'm going to propose that we, if we can, elect all the sitting board members. That is six people, because Leslie or I will be the past president. So that's already done, but at least six members need to be elected, and three of the six, that is to say the secretary, the president, and the one board member will serve a two-year term, and the treasurer, the vice president, and another board member will serve a one-year term, and they will be filled again next year to conform with the bylaws, since we have even an odd number of years. So we'd like to do that. First, can I get, just for discussion purposes, can I get a motion and a second to approve the bylaws?
I so moved. Second.
Okay, great. It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on some of these as far as clarification or... Yes.
Yeah, it was there.
You want to find it, Peter, or you want me to read it? Yeah.
It's at the end of Article 4B, the last sentence. The immediate past president shall be a member of the board of directors.
Okay, that's all.
Yeah. Good. Okay, very good. We also talked about, I did not include it in this round of the Constitution, but we, so I don't, I'm not going to, this won't be part of it, but we did talk about term limits. The committee talked about writing into the Constitution itself that no officer or board member shall serve more than three consecutive terms. And then after that, you know, we have to look at, number one, whether we want to go that route and then propose it to the body. And also, if we do it, what about can each member then run for a different term and then start their three terms all over again? So there's a couple of issues that I'm just letting you know that this is coming down the road, and think about the whole issue of term limits, because we'll be discussing that with the committee, I think, in future meetings. Okay, any other discussion? Okay, let's do a voice vote. All in favor of approving the Constitution and bylaws, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Perfect. Well, thank you very much, and we have a new constitution and bylaws. It's a major, major accomplishment, and I want to, again, thank all the members of the committee who worked so hard to do this, and thank all of you. This, you know, it's a major step for this organization, even though we're doing it very quickly, so I don't want to lose sight of that. Okay, I hate to rush forward, but we're gonna try to do elections real quick. I'm going to ask for the office of president to be voted on at this point. And since the vice president is not here, that is Leslie.
Just conduct the election?
Yeah. We're going to ask Peter to do it. And I want to just tell you that Leslie, I'm sure, would have been here, but she's on the board of CTEVH and is serving in that capacity. So she hasn't missed this. So I'm going to turn it over to Peter for the office of president.
Are there any nominations?
I nominate Jerry Arcala.
Ooh. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations?
Yes, right. The checks haven't been distributed yet.
Barack Obama.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
You betcha.
Can we have?
Okay.
All right.
Can we please have a motion on the floor to elect Jerry Arakawa by acclamation?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Abstentions? Well, congratulations, wow. Jerry.
All right, thank you very much.
Yay.
See, I tried to distribute checks to get someone to run. Okay. All right. We are now going to begin the further election of officers, and we are now ready to accept nominations for the office of vice president. Now, this will be a one-year term and will come up again next year in conformance with the Constitution. So, can I hear any nominations, please?
I'd like to nominate Pat Wolf.
Okay, the name of Pat Wolf has been introduced. Are there any other nominations? Can we have a motion to elect Pat by acclamation?
So move.
Second. Okay, it's been moved and seconded to elect Pat Wolf as Kahlua's vice president. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Pat, you got it.
Thank you.
All right, Pat. Okay, and now I might point out that Leslie is on the board as past president, so we don't have to worry about that. We will now open the floor for nominations for secretary.
I nominate Debbie. Yeah.
Okay, the name of Debbie Berry has been placed in nomination for consideration for secretary. Are there any other nominations? Okay, can we have a motion to accept Debbie?
So move.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to accept Debbie Berry as secretary, regardless of the vicious competition. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Perfect, Debbie. You got it.
Thank you, everyone.
Okay, and and now for the office of treasurer, and again, this will be a one-year term. Can we have nominations? Okay, the name of Peter Pardini has been placed for consideration for treasurer. Are there any other nominations? Okay, can we get the motion, please? Shall we? All right. It's been moved and seconded to elect Peter Pardini as our esteemed treasurer by acclamation. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions? Peter, you got it, and we intend to keep him super busy with our ever-expanding membership. Okay, now we would like to see, we would like to elect first the board member for the two-year term. Can we hear any nominations?
I'd like to nominate Nancy Unger.
Okay. The name of Nancy Unger has been placed for your consideration for a board of directors position. Any other nominations? Yes. I can't make the motion, so someone will make
the motion.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to elect Nancy Unger for the two-year board term. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Excellent. All right. Congratulations, Nancy. You're in the soup for 2 years. Okay, and our final position this year is election is a 1 year term for a board member. Can we entertain any nomination? Okay, the name of Gloria Broderick has been placed for your consideration. Any other nominations? Okay, moved and seconded to elect Gloria Broderick as a board member for the 1 year term. All in favor? Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, yes.
Can you talk to the steak picture there so it's easy tonight?
Well, there's not enough money. I've distributed all of my money already, so I'm sorry. You're out of luck. Okay, it's been moved. All opposed? Abstentions? Okay, we have our full seated board. And again, thank you for everything. That's so just to go over this, the president, Jerry Arakawa, vice president, Pat Wolf, secretary, Debbie Berry, treasurer, Peter Pardini, immediate past president, Leslie Tom, 2 year board term, Nancy Unger, 1 year board term, Gloria Broderick. thank you so much for your commitment and your election and your participation in this process. I'm really pleased to be here for two more years, and I'm very honored by your confidence, and I feel good about the board. We've worked pretty hard, and I think this organization will continue to move upward and onward. let me see.
We have a question. Do we have a treasurer's report?
We would, except I had to beg for the organization's forgiveness. With everything going on in my personal life since January of this year, I misplaced the treasurer's report.
Oh.
So I can't find it.
Oh.
So what do I put in the minutes, guys? Peter replaced the treasurer's report.
Peter, is it doable for you to reconstitute it or to?
Yes, it is. I just got to find my written documents. I can't.
You just give me the information anytime.
Okay.
And I'll just put them in the mail.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Right. Those of you who will pay today, we've already gotten a couple. We have it's $20, and it will be good until the end of 2009. So I encourage all of you to do that. We want to.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
Right. Right. So we want to increase our membership, and certainly I will be here throughout this lunch. Peter will be here. What we're going to want from you, of course, is the long green, the money, and then we're going to want the following: your name, phone number, address, email if you have one, and your medium for receiving the Lua Legend, which is the national newsletter.
I have a question, Jerry.
The Lua Ledger. Huh?
You and I have talked about this. I haven't been paying for 3 years. And I haven't gotten paid.
You know, what I'll do, Pam, I really apologize about that. I will talk with first Adam Rushable and then Judy Cannon, who is the editor. Okay. Is she's still the editor, right, Gloria?
Yes, she is.
All right. We'll find out why you're...
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Really good phone.
Okay. Well, I will, by the end of... probably after this convention, within the week, I want to call Adam to give him our new information, and of course Peter and I will put our heads together before we do this, so we have one consistent roster. But when does the next ledger come out, Gloria?
I don't know; it should be out now. But for those of you who don't know, I'm a member of the National Board, and I've seen our chapter, our state power affiliate roster.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's. I will. When I call Adam, I'll go over the names with him, and we'll see what's going on. I'll tell you, I haven't gotten the most recent ledger. I don't know when it came out.
It hasn't come out.
Oh, that's probably why I didn't get it.
It's getting close to.
Okay, it's twice a year generally. Oh, you know what? The staff has graciously allowed us to sit here if we want, and they'll just set up. I presume everyone is here for lunch as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so we'll. Is Brian here?
Yes.
All right, Brian. Okay. So, as most of you probably know, we are fortunate to have Brian Albritton, who's a reader advisor at Burrell Institute. And he will be talking to us about a number of topics. We have a pretty full program, and I thought what we would do real quick is, while they're serving the food here, if we could all go around and just introduce yourself real briefly, so we know who everyone is at the tables. I'm going to ask if we can get maybe Peter, if you can kind of tap someone on the shoulder about, you know, who's next to talk, who would be next to introduce yourself. Unfortunately, and we have to do it this way because we don't have wireless mics here, so you're going to have to project when you introduce yourself and just move along. We'll go table by table real quick. We can do this while the food is being served. Okay. So first, myself, Jerry Jerry Arakawa, your very grateful president, and I'll be here for another 2 years. And again, I want to thank all the membership for their confidence. So, and I'll go to my right. We'll introduce this head table. Okay, Brian.
Brian Albritton, Reader Services Coordinator at Braille Institute. And next to me is Princess, who is?
I'm Denise Albritton, Ryan's wife, taking my day off from work at Social Security.
Yay! All right. How many more
Okay, in front.
Yeah. Okay, my name is Dan Kaiser. I'm a grateful user of the downloadable talking books from NLS.
Woo-hoo!
I downloaded 45 books so far.
Good job.
I'm Ann Kaiser, and I'm also a resident guide on the University of California, and I also really enjoy, I actually was a patron of Braille Institute back in the 70s, and they're awesome. So,
I'm Nancy Younger from Riverside, California. Thank you.
And besides Nancy.
I'm Lee Morton, and I work as the Glenn Pendant Director for the Lunch Committee. Considered an outreach for Braille Institute Library Services. So good to be here.
Yay. Kelly Weiss from Santa Monica.
Tina Bubel, I'm also on the Library Advisory Committee of Braille and LA Time.
I'm Pat
LeGrand-Kowalt,
Vice President
of Lua, and I'm a librarian. Great. Gloria Broderick from Pasadena, member of the National Board of Library Users.
Yeah.
I'm Pam Madden. I got 3 days. I have 100 NLS. Wow. 50 from 20 from Overdrive, and 219 from Bookshare.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Right.
She must like him on her players.
This is Debbie Berry, your new secretary, new contingent secretary. Thank you. And we've been downloading for Bookshare, and 2 weeks ago we downloaded the first book from the NLS pilot.
All right.
And we have Vincent Barker from Orange County, and I'm another grateful user of the Vapor Stream and the download pilot program from the library.
Yes. I'm Debbie Overton from Diamond Bar, for the Defend Behavioral Balance chapter, and I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah.
I'm Pam Ball, the treasurer of the Defend Behavioral Balance chapter, and the double team.
Hi, John.
That was a prize of all of you, know.
Yeah. Quiet, please.
John Ross, President, Baker School of Pastor and King. I'm the treasurer of
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is David Jackson, OCD president, and a very long time user of California Library and NLS.
Linda Fleming,
Library
Director
for
Orange County, and I'm also the
Library
Advisory
Thank you.
Please.
This is Maria Mitchell, and I am in San Lorenzo.
Oh, yes.
Quiet, please.
Make a friend.
Shh, quiet, please.
All right.
Quiet, please.
My name is Lena Bandy. I'm the Braille instructor / librarian from Junior College of America, and I'm the secretary treasurer of Blind Students of California.
What do you hear? What do you say? This is Rosemary Ross? Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
I'm not planning on getting a computer, but I know the bigger reader screen sounds good, but I got a whole bunch of cassettes, but I didn't count how many I got. The library has good service.
Downloaded books.
I don't
like that voice.
Yep. Plus the people Roman are here. God bless her heart, she's here.
Okay, what a wonderful turnout. Thank you to everyone. We're going to be having our presentation very shortly, and intermingled with this presentation, I do feel it my job to ask all of you to keep in mind that this is your organization. This is a membership organization. We are going to be asking for everyone to, those of you who are members, to re-up, to renew your membership for next year. The fee, the dues. It's an entrance fee. The dues are $20, $20, and that entitles you to vote for some of our projects and become a real active participant in Kahlua. We just did some major revisions on our constitution and bylaws, thanks to the voting membership of this organization. So it also entitles you to the periodic publication called the Lua Ledger, which is the national organization's newsletter. So please keep in mind that it's time to renew your membership for those of you whose membership ends this year. And I want to encourage all of you to join and be a part of this wonderful, growing, and dynamic organization. So thanks to all of you. I want to thank all of you for coming again. And we are going to be graced with a presentation from Brian Allbritton, who will be talking about a number of issues, both pertinent to Braille Institute and pertinent to you as a library user. You know, it makes me so pleased to hear so many of you say you're avid readers, you're a lover of books, and that's really why we're here. So this, again, it's a great time, I think, to be part of this organization. I can't remember a time in my life, really, when we've had so much access to information. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I remember back in the old days when the only way we could read is pulling out those big 33 1/3 long play records and listen to Livingston Gilbert and Bert Blackwell and Milton Metz and Alexander Scorby. Well, you know, those days are long gone. Some say good riddance. Others say, well, I really wish we had those great readers again. But nevertheless, we have so much available to us, and you'll hear in other program presentations as we go throughout the year new innovative kinds of things that we have available to us as blind users. So to start this off with Braille Institute, I want to introduce Brian Allbritton, and many of you know him very well. We'll start this as soon as we move this microphone. All right, we'll start with Brian and take it away.
All right. The only thing I can think of to say is library. This is Brian. Anyway, that's how I usually start everything. Security? Oh, my goodness. All right, let me adjust this mic position. I almost wound up reading a plate instead of my notes. A plate was about to appear right where my notes were, and I don't know, please. So, it really is a pleasure, and it's actually an honor to be in a group like this, in a bunch of library, with a bunch of library users. I feel like I'm right at home. I feel like you're family. I know some of you folks. I know most of you folks, I think. And Braille Revival League is here as well. Is that right? I am a great fan of Braille. I couldn't survive without it. I used to read late at night. I'm sure many of us have done this when we were supposed to be in bed. Well, we were in bed, but you understand about putting the volume under the covers and hiding it from your parents and reading into the far reaches of the night. I used to scare myself with Edgar Allan Poe. Scare me to death. Oh, my God, scare me to death. You know, like the Bill Cosby thing. You know? Yeah. So moving right along, what I'm going to talk about is number of things. The new digital format that NLS is going to be using. I'm going to be talking about something we call OverDrive, and it's the unabridged collection from OverDrive, and it's available to all of our library users. And I'm going to be talking about WebOPEC, which is ordering books online, and whatever else comes to mind. See where I am next. I actually am using, I had the option of, I'm using Braille notes. I mean, I know there's note takers and stuff out there, but doggone it, I like paper and Braille. I'll tell you what, we keep our checkbook at our house on paper. I'm not going to trust it to something like Quicken, which they should call it Slowin, because it takes you 100 years to figure out how to use the darn thing. And there's going to be a lot of computer-related stuff. I just want everybody to know that doesn't have a computer, I'm right with you. A lot of days, I hate the computer. The only thing I like about the computer is what it's got for me. I have a hard time with a computer like a lot of you folks. In many cases, it's a struggle for me. But I managed to prevail some of the time, most of the time, and but that's what I am. I'm just a regular user. So let me move into the talking about, briefly, just ordering books. One of the nice features that's available to us, ordering books online. There's a new website for this. It's, and I can repeat all this stuff at, you know, ad nauseum, you know, towards the end when we open. I want to really open it up to be a little interactive when I get done talking, because if you just get me talking and no questions, well, that's like burgers without the fries. So, WebOPAC, it's now found at webopac.brailleinstitute.org/KLASWEB. And that stands for CLAS, Keystone Library Automated Systems. And so that's the way you can order books. So if you want to avail yourself of that. And if you don't have a computer, what the heck are grandchildren for?
Yeah, right.
Or kids of any kind. Get a kid off the street.
Yeah.
Tell him I want some books, homie. Let's go. So you get your login information from us, and just give us a call. 1-800-808-2555. I feel like I should say Richmond 99999, but I won't. And we give you a username and a password, and when you use the site, it's important to log in first, because I've had many calls from people that just, you know, they said, I had all these books, I had them collected, you know, the one after the other, and then one thing or another. So you know how computers are. They're really against us, not with us. And so they lose all of that. So it's a good idea to log in first and order a few books at a time as you go along, rather than getting a whole collection going. It's because there's a bit of a timeout feature with the system. And if you're inactive too long, then you have to log in again, and it's very annoying. And there's standard buttons that a lot of your computer users may be used to. There's radio buttons for keyword, title, subject, and narrator. There's a little checkbox for use patron profile. And you say, what the heck does that mean? Well, there's another link on that site once you've logged in called the search options page. And once you're there, you can configure it so when that box is checked, your search will, for instance, skip books that you've had already. That's one of the nicest features. And there's other features available besides that. It's quite a lot of things, like for instance, you can skip books with things that you don't like. Maybe you don't want books with sex, violence, and strong language. Well, nobody cares about that here, I see. Well, if you want violence, sex, and strong language, just type it in the keyword field, and you'll get plenty of it. Sex? Well, the violence and strong language sounds like me when I'm trying to use my computer on a daily basis. Now, maybe you don't really want to mess with searching. You don't want to be looking for titles. You don't want to be looking through authors. You maybe collected a bunch of RC numbers from Talking Book Topic somewhere, from Braille Book Review or something on that order. And you just want to order books. You want to key in the numbers? Well, you can do that. There's a link requested by book. And that allows you to put in book numbers. It's pretty forgiving how you type them in. You can either do it with spaces or without spaces. And you can then, once you've got books selected, you add them to your book basket. And after that, you go to a place where you proceed to check out. And you would activate that proceed to checkout button. Occasionally, you'll see something like, and it's an ominous sounding message, like, your book basket has certain exceptions. Well, what the heck is that? What's exceptional about my book basket? Well, what it is, it's, for instance, if you, for instance, checked one of those things that you don't want, like violence, or maybe it's not at your reading level. Maybe you read like me. I'm a kid. I never grow up, so I'm always checking out a kid's book. And it says, you know, it's not your reading level, it's not adult or whatever. Well, anyway, there's these little radio buttons that say, they say send anyway, and you check that, and then you just go ahead and finish the process. It's one of the more annoying screens, but it's there. Some people actually want that. You know, they're picking out books for somebody that, you know, wants pretty specific things and doesn't want other things. So, so there's that. And this is live. You can tell, can't you? Because I have this. I'm sorting through my notes. It's one of the advantages to having your notes in Braille. or one of the disadvantages, actually. All right, here we go. All right, I have that. It wasn't fair for them to feed me first. I'm going to. Now, the next, so that's WebOpac. There's a lot of other details that I haven't covered, but I didn't really want you to put you all to sleep. Those, if you call the library, we can help you with getting acquainted with it the first time. You know, just call us. That's what we're there for. The one thing that's not going to happen, we're not replacing reader advisors with other things. So, let me talk to you a little bit about Unabridged. So Unabridged is the website is unabridged.lib.overdrive.com. That's like Unabridged, the past tense, unabridged.lib.overdrive.com. That's the website where you go. You would come to us for a library card and PIN number. It's a 15-digit card. It's a 15-digit card number and a mercifully short PIN of 4 digits, and that's how you access the collection. You need to install something, also called the Overdrive Media Console. And the Overdrive Media Console is essentially how you access those books. When you download, they go to the Overdrive Media Console. And you have several options available to you. It's a five books. You get to check out up to five books for a two week lending period. Now at that point, they expire on your computer. You can actually listen to them on computer, unlike say the NLS download, which I'm going to talk about also. But you can actually listen to them on your computer. It's a very nice piece of software. You can actually speed up the reader, which some people like to do. And if you don't want to be tied to the computer, you can transfer them to many different kinds of MP3 players. I got a couple Movos in my backpack that I bought when they were still selling those. And we also have some Zen Stones. The nice thing about those is they're relatively low cost, like in the $40 range. Unlike the Victor Reader Stream, which is not low cost. It's a wonderful thing to have, but it's sometimes, for a lot of folks, it can be hard to pony up that much money. So you can transfer them to an MP3 player. In many cases, you can burn them to CD, which some people like to avail themselves of that option, particularly if it's something you want to keep for a long time and you want a nice, hard, solid copy of it. And now, I often get asked, they say, well, why only five books for a two-week lending period? Basically, you're getting a license to use that book. The reason they have those licenses is so the authors can, well, make money. They're mostly commercial books that are available on there. And those books are, besides that, and here's a little secret. There's a way you can get 10 more books. There's a page on there called the link will say something like Access K-12 School Download. Yep. But don't let the K-12 throw you. It's not just books for people from kindergarten to through high school. Do they still say high school nowadays? I don't know. So it's not just for that. There are books there for older readers. There's a lot of classics on there. For instance, I'm rereading *Wuthering Heights* right now, and I got it from that site. Wonderful, and also *Oliver Twist*. Marvelous, marvelous things. Just wonderful books. Wonderful things available, and that is been available to us for now 2 years, and we periodically have announced it. And by the way, there is, and we're going to move on to the digital format pretty quickly, but there is a bit of an orientation to Unabridged on the telephone reader program. And you can sign up for that by calling the Braille Institute. And I believe it's option four, number 13 is what you would pick. If you need a way to sign in there, just call the library and they can get you set up for that. Not only that, we had our second online workshop, it was one that Don Fuller and I conducted, and we have a recording of that on the telephone radio program as well. So that's a place where everybody can access it. I think that's very nice. You don't have to have a computer to necessarily hear this stuff. So now I'm going to move to talking about the digital format that's coming out. So I love this format that's coming out because the best part about it is a single book on a single cartridge. Now, what they're doing is they have the initial cartridges that they're getting are going to have 512 megabytes, basically half a gig. So what does that mean in terms of hours? Because that's what's the most meaningful to any of us. Well, in terms of hours, it'll hold around around 47 hours, up to 47 hours of recording of an NLS book. Well, what does that translate to? That's roughly, anybody got the math on this one? That's roughly seven or eight cassettes. So most books will fit on there. The Bible, for instance, will not fit on there. You would need more than one cartridge for that. And just a word about the Bible. There is Carolyn Hoover Song was at our open house from NLS, and she said that NLS has been approached by the Jewish Braille Institute and also the Xavier Society about digital formatted books, and so hopefully something will transpire from those meetings. That would be very, very nice. But that's sort of like a there's not even film at 11, but stay tuned. So this format uses a single cartridge. It uses a machine with no moving parts except for the handle. And we're getting roughly, this is slightly out of date. I have written here 500 of these around December. Well, we're looking more like at February. Now, theoretically, technically speaking, those are beta there for testing, but they've done all the testing they need to do. Really, it works as fine, but it's just a part of the procedure. The people that get first right of refusal is the way they put it, because not everybody's necessarily going to want this. Not everybody will necessarily want this. Our veterans, as it always has been, that's kind of an NLS standard. But the production next year, that's 2009, that will start very roughly, around April. And they have a contract to produce 120,000 machines. Of course, this is national for the whole year. And that I broke out a calculator and figured out that adds up to, I think, around roughly 175 machines per month per library, if that's indeed the way they distribute it. Now, how they get distributed is we don't even know that yet. We're not. I asked just recently, you know, how many are we getting? And they say total over the year, 2,000 to 3,000, but they don't really know for sure. We won't really know until the shipments start coming in, until we hear from NLS, and NLS is the government, and they're not. they only give information as they are totally sure about it. And so that's where that is. As far as how fast this is going to happen, there's 650 books that have been produced. They're on single cartridges, and there's more coming. We have asked for initially, and once again, I can't stress enough, we don't know how fast they're coming, but for 2,000 to get us started. So obviously they need to produce some more, and the 2,000 include some of the older books that, you know, were on cassette. By the way, hold on to your cassette machine. I'm holding on to mine. I've got one beside my bed, and I've got about four or five books on cassette.
What about the record players?
And there's still record players out there. You better believe it. So I don't let go of anything. Just look at our back bedroom, and you'll see. This is a low. This is a nice little machine, and indeed it is a little machine. It's not as tiny as your Victor Reader Stream, for instance, but it is weighs about 2 pounds as opposed to 7 pounds plus as the cassette machine. It's about three by 6 by 9 inches, and it would fit in. It would fit in most women's purses, I do believe. And the cartridges will pack a lot easier. You ever try to pack those cassette boxes in a suitcase? And you ever notice how unforgiving the suitcase is? It's only going to hold so many boxes. You can stack quite a few, basically almost as many as you could carry in your suitcase. So that's going to be a lot more totable. Now, a little more detail about the machine. It's going to have a there's a play stop button. When you power on the machine, it tells you what book you have in it. It tells you where you are in the book. And if, for instance, you use the on either side of the play button, those back and forth buttons, you push it once, and it'll go forward a few seconds. And as you hold it down, it'll say 1 minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, like that. And so you can find out where how far it's advancing. There's a sleep button, which is invaluable. If you fall asleep on a cassette book, well, you lose 90 minutes at the most. You fall asleep on one of these books, and you're 12 hours later when you wake up. Where am I? We started out in Rome. Now we're in Washington, D.C. And all this stuff is going on. And then a lot of you folks, now I've never been able to do this. I just have to hear things at the normal speed. But if you want to speed it up, you can speed it up. And it doesn't change pitch, like I just did. It just gets faster. There's a... The machine has tremendous things stored a potential, because one of the things you can do is you could download books. Those are actually, we're actually seeing that on the main NLS site now, the downloadable books, besides the pilot project, which I'm going to mention and get into details about that. But they will be on the main NLS website. You'll be able to download them. You'll be able to store them on your computer. Now, you don't have the same power that the Victor Reader Stream does. You can't put multiple books on the machine. But what you can do is, you get a book, you just got to have it. You got to have it. And you download it, put it on a little memory stick. You could get those sorts of things. I mean, you could get them at Walgreens or your local, basically the camera outlet has things like that. And they usually don't cost that much, 10, 20 bucks, something like that. And you can plug it into a little USB port, which is this little port on the side of the machine, and you can play the book. It'll only recognize one book. It's only set up to recognize one. So you'd have to... get hundreds of those memory sticks, or you would have to you could download as many books on your computer as you want, and then you could just, when you're done with a book, you could pop another one on that same memory stick. But there is another thing that's going to be coming out. They're not out yet, but there will be blank cartridges for the book, and you can buy blanks, and then you can just plug that into the normal place in the front of the machine. There's just a slot. You slide it in, and it clicks in place, and then you could play books that have been downloaded that way. And if you don't have a computer, hit up the grandkids. Let them do the downloading for you. Let them do all that. Let them do all the heavy work. Please. I wish somebody would do the heavy work for me. I have downloaded... I'm going to talk about the NLS... pilot website. I get calls now and then, and people have picked up a new Victor Reader Stream. They've begged, borrowed, and stolen for one of those things. I finally broke down and bought one. I bought it out of self-defense. I was not real excited about the Victor Reader Stream when I first heard about it. I thought, no. Anything that goes on sale in the summer from Humanware, I don't trust. So I watched the list. There was that Victor Reader Stream list, and I watched all the complaints. But gradually, it looked like this may not be so bad after all. And when they got books from Audible.com available for it, that's okay, that's fine. They still need to get books available for the Unabridged program because they still can't do the digital, something called digital rights management, which is how Unabridged protects their books. And they still haven't, I'm not sure why, what the leap that HumanWare has to, what the deal is, why they can't do that. But hopefully they will. But if you, there's a site where you can actually sign up. It's www.nlstalkingbooks.org/DTB, as in Digital Talking Book. And that site has a, there's a little online form. There's actually, when you first go on there, there's 7 links. And one of those is linked to application instructions, and you can follow that link, read the instructions, and then there's a link to application or application form. And on that link, you would put in your name, your address, the last, the city of your library, which is going to be either, well, in here it would be Los Angeles for Braille Institute, and we got some folks from Northern California, I noticed, so that would no doubt be Sacramento. And so you would type that in. There's a little drop-down box, or a combo box, as most of us know them, and that's where you select the player that you have. You can either indicate the loaner player, which none of us has yet, and I don't even have one. I would have, and if I had one and then brought it here to demonstrate, I would have had to get a Secret Service detail, probably. So, but in any case, so you select your player there, and you submit your form. You'll get a quick confirming email that it's been received. And things go to NLS in a process roughly once a week, I believe on Wednesday. And basically what they do is they verify that you're an active patron. Every now and then I get a call from somebody that, you know, they're a book sharing, and they've been doing a lot of book share, and they just haven't got books from us in a long, long time, and they just become active. It's a simple process to get them activated, but so they just make sure that you're an active patron, and they then later you on after that email you'll get one from HumanWare, and it will tell you how to activate your Victor Reader Stream. And since I've got one, and since I've done this a few times, usually when there's questions I can't answer, I would refer you to HumanWare, but most of the questions I seem to be able to answer, so if you have any issues with any getting any of that process done, then you are more than welcome to call. Also, just to, and this gets to technical support, how much do I know? Like I told you, I'm just an average computer user. And I'm going to wind it up with this and then open it up for questions. I'm just an average computer user. So, for instance, on the Unabridged site, I can help you with that at a certain level. But at a certain place, I might have to refer you to writing or emailing tech support for Unabridged. That's the one I was talking about earlier, the books from Overdrive, unabridged.lib.overdrive.com. And you have to be able to basically form a coherent question and email that off to them, and then they will give you what they think is a coherent answer. I'll tell you a little story, and then I think I'll just open it up, because I it was Saturday. We were relaxed. My wife was in the front bedroom on her computer and trying to play The Godfather, and there was a problem with it. She said, "This thing is giving me an error message. Says the license isn't right for Windows Media Player." When my wife's got a problem, I got a problem. I need to solve it immediately. So there'll be peace in the valley and in our house. So I sent an email off to the folks, and they gave me this. They tend to respond, "Oh, it's not usually that immediate." And a couple days later, they told me to go to the Microsoft website. Have you ever tried to find anything on the Microsoft website that you're trying to find? It is murderous. And it took me about 30 or 40 minutes to find what I needed to find. I finally found it, and after that it was not easy either. But anyway, we got it done. And all is well at the All Britain household once again. So I'm going to mention one more thing. I'll open it up. We are taking names for the machine, the new digital machine that, you know, for those who are interested, and probably everybody's interested here. So we're taking names, and it is definitely a waiting list at this point. Keyword is waiting. And like I said, the veterans get the first crack at it. And that's where we stand right now. So it's been a long time waiting for this to happen. It's finally happening, but it is going to be. I hope that it won't take you any of you 5 years to get a machine. I don't think it will take that long for anybody here. But I know the transition is supposed to be roughly 5 years. Your cassettes are not going to disappear, by the way. They are not going to disappear. Those will be. Do you remember how long records were? I mean, it was about a 30-year transition, wasn't it? Now they anticipate not being a 30-year total transition here, but it might be more like 15 years. And as long as people hung on to the record players and as long as people hung on to their cassette players, I think you'll be okay. But do hang on to them. And I wouldn't have to tell anybody this here, I know, but just as a general rule of thumb, be gentle with your machine. Take good care of it. And protect it and cherish it. And I am going to just open it up for any random questions.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to take presidential prerogative and ask my question. And then we all have to leave. Now, my question is, well, actually, like two. One, I'm presuming they're going to try to get some of the old books that we know and love on cassette into the new digital format, correct?
Absolutely. And they've already started with that process. I'm going to answer it two ways. One of the things they've done is, and this is for the grassroots, because that's what I'm most interested in. I don't want this to be a computer-centric service. So I'm going to talk about the grassroots. For the grassroots, yes, they will. They will be putting those books in the digital format and on the digital cartridges so that you can play them on the digital machine. That's definitely, it's being done at this moment. They actually got a whole list from us called it's one of these jargony things. They call it our retrospective, retroactive. I can't even remember. I'm very bad on jargon. But basically, old books, the old books that we would like to see done, and we have given them a list of 2,000 to start, just, you know, we looked at the needs and, the wants and passions of our users and came up with 2,000 books. I'm sorry, I haven't committed that list to memory, but and that's just the beginning. Just to give you an idea where they are in terms of putting things in a digital format, I'm a big Tom Clancy fan, and so is my wife. I tried to bring her home a Danielle Steele once, and she said, "What is this?" She didn't like it, but they have, for instance, Some of All Fears. That's a big book. That's been done. They have the whole Bourne series, you know, the Robert Ludlum books are on there. And they do have, I mean, they have, I must confess, I didn't look at Daniel Steele and see what they have, but I'm sure, knowing how much she is revered and loved by our patrons, I'm sure they have many of those on there. And they're slowly moving into, getting the classics done. It's kind of similar to what they did with the talking books when they went from talking book to cassette.
Okay. Yeah, the other real quick question I had was, when are they going to change the that website for the way this is laid up through NLS for the pilot program? I found it so cumbersome compared to the NLS, the original website.
Yes, it is. I don't have a date for that, but for instance, what you might try as a search, there is, you can use the main NLS page, and if you type in DB as a keyword, and then type in, say, a title or an author, you'll no doubt get some hits that are digital books. You can also just type in digital talking book. You can have that particular one. I tried a few of these recently. DB's one works. And then also, if you go to the Voyager link, there's a Voyager link from the main NLS site, which I should give right now, I think, www.loc.gov/NLS. Well, on that page, there's a search the catalog link. You follow that link, and then there is a link to Voyager. And on there, there's one of the drop-down boxes says digital is for digital talking books, and you can select that and then get a listing that way.
Okay. Well, we'll try to do this in an orderly manner. I know a lot of folks have questions. Why don't you shout out your name? Okay, we heard Debbie, and who's next?
Rosemary.
Okay, we got Debbie, Christine, Rosemary for the first go around. Go ahead, Debbie.
Okay, my question is about this new digital talking book player and the waiting list. Okay, you've got the veterans, and you've got people that are 100 or over.
Yes.
Is it going to be like people that check out a lot of books?
Yes.
Are they going to have some kind of priority?
Yes.
Okay. Christy.
I'm wondering, since I have a different stream, do I really need to get the loaner digital? If I don't get that, then I can give somebody else a priority.
That's you. Well, the short answer is no. You don't. I mean, you wouldn't necessarily need to get the loaner. So no, you don't.
So the new picture stream will be able to play it.
It does.
Yeah, it does now.
Yeah, and actually, there's a plug-in port on the cartridge that will allow you to take the Victor stream and plug it right into the cartridge itself.
Yeah.
Okay, Rosemary.
Oh, Brian, you kind of remind me of George Carlin.
Oh.
But anyway, my question is kind of a silly one, but you know how you're not supposed to, but people play regular records on their talking book machine, cassettes, you know. Like,
oh, yes, I did that.
MP3s and CDs on those digital.
Well, CDs you wouldn't be. MP3s you could. They say you can.
Like music or whatever.
Yeah.
Question.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what can you really briefly tell us something about. I guess now there's some overdrive books that are actually MP3 files, but no plan on doing this. I just got a notice about it this week.
Yeah, I did too.
So I'm not sure what that.
Yeah, I lost my thread. So can the MP3s play on it?
Yes, and I don't know how do you find which books are the ones that can be played on that? I haven't looked at it, so I'm not.
I actually have to that one. I have to find out myself. It's they're actually oh good.
You have to go into first. You have no way to get into the section. You gotta download the media.
So I have all that.
Yeah. So what you do when you go in, you go into your library. You have to go into the book. You have to look. It has to have the titles of the book. It has everything that is a play.
Okay. So it'll tell you.
It'll tell you that it's a play. And I did get a note from where it said that the unabridged role play only MP3.
Right. Exactly.
That's actually right. Now the trick is finding the. I haven't delved into that, where to find the MP3s. They're not actually available on the unabridged.lib.overdrive.com site yet. That may come to pass, but they have to. At the moment, the coordinator for Unabridged is talking about adding to the collection from the MP3 Overdrive collection.
Okay.
I have a question. My name is
Lena. Lena, go ahead.
I'm what my students call Juris, and I need reassurance. Are you still going to update the Braille library?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very, very precise and simple. Any other questions for us?
Yes.
Andy.
What is the difference between the first website you mentioned, the OPAC, I believe it was, and the NLS digital download site? What is the difference? Are they the same thing, or what is the difference?
Oh, the difference is one has the books that you can download. In other words, the www.nlstalkingbooks.org/dtb, that's where you can download books. The Web OPAC site is where you can actually order books online and have them come in the mail.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Other questions for Brian? Yes. Ron.
So if I keep my vector stream and download from the NLS site, is that going to be the same choice as people with the machine with the cartridges?
Same.
Same thing? No, okay. Not different than
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
My concern, and I guess, I'm getting older. I was wondering, is a digital machine going to be one that an older person can operate?
I would say so. It's yes.
You know, I've talked to so many older people who like to read, and, you know, that's one thing they need to be able to do.
I like this machine for particularly for its ease of use, because the buttons are large. Some people ask me, why didn't you go with a smaller machine? And that's one of the reasons. We have a broad population we serve, and we wanted it to be so that that machine would be physically easy to operate. The buttons are physically easy to find. They're all distinct shapes. By the way, it's a self-instructing machine. If you don't have a cartridge in it, once you've turned it on, you can push different buttons, and the machine will announce what they do. Basically a key describer. Yes, that's as good a way to describe it as any. So that's a very nice feature. Yeah, the battery, another nice thing. You can run it off a battery or wall socket, and the battery lasts around 30 hours.
Wow.
No. And, by the way, when you turn it on, it'll tell you what your battery status is. In other words, how much time you got left. I think you also have to have the cartridge out of the machine, too. This is one of the reasons I wish they would have left us at least one. They keep showing us this thing from Washington, D.C., and then they take it away.
Right?
Yes, Kim?
I was wondering, in the future, will they have one of those combo machines with the cassette as well as the newer machine together?
No, I haven't heard of such a thing.
Well, do you think they might in the future?
I don't think so. Yeah.
Okay, we'll have two more questions for Brian, and we're going to wrap it up. Going once.
That sounds like just the state library. We are actually going to be sending out a rollout letter, but we're still actually in the process of putting that together. Going to roll it. Have questions on it.
Okay. Final question. Well, great. Well, you know, I want to let's give Brian a really good round of applause. It's a wonderful presentation, and as I said, it's we're really on the threshold of an exciting time, and it's great to be a reader, a library patron at this point. There's so many things available to us. So I want to also say that, you know, Brian is here because of an idea of one of our members. So I want to urge all of you, number one, to re-up for your membership. You can see Peter Pardini or myself in the hall wandering around. We'll take your information and, of course, your money, and also let us know about any other ideas, any program that you'd like to see, and we'll continue to respond to that and keep the exciting program coming. Once again, thank all of you for coming. Enjoy the rest of the convention, and it's a great turnout.
And I just want to personally thank everyone here for inviting me. It is indeed an honor to speak for you all. Thank you so much.